This is our second talk on the subject of broken promises. So if you missed last week's, it is online and it's got lots of good things in it that obviously we're going to maybe refer to today as well. So if you've missed it, then it is there on the website. So last week we spoke about the promises of man and we said they are easily broken. And when people break their promises to us, it can bring pain and shame and guilt and grief and all sorts of negative emotions. But God can restore promises, but we must hand over all the broken pieces. And I brought some visions about that last week. And I brought the revelation that if we hold on to the pieces of our lives and we refuse to give them to God, then we're limiting God. He can't do anything with it if he's not got the full picture, okay? This week, we're talking about the promises of God. And we're starting in Numbers 23 and verse 19, where it says this: God is not a man, so he does not lie. He is not human, so he does not change his mind. Has he ever spoken and failed to act? Has he ever promised and not carried it through? Listen, I received a command to bless. God has blessed, and I cannot reverse it. Great little scripture. It says God isn't a man, so he doesn't lie, doesn't change his mind. If God makes a promise, he never breaks it. It's like a contract. It's signed and sealed, and you just cannot get out of that contract. So I felt I had a word of knowledge for someone listening to this, and it's this: God didn't break the contract. Man did. It was a person that broke that contract. See, man says, I love you. I love you not, because people change their minds. But God says, I love you, I love you, I love you. And he doesn't change his mind. In Hebrews 13 and verse 8, it says, Jesus Christ is the same yesterday, today, and forever. And so is his love, and so are his promises. You know, people get angry with God because of what man has done to them. It's not God that's done it, it's people. Man's got a free will and does what he pleases, and it doesn't mean it's God's will. God's will does not automatically come to pass in our lives. Other people affect our lives, and it depends what we're speaking over our own life as well. I remember praying with someone in church once years ago. And this lady told me that week she'd been attacked in a work situation. So she had been thrown to the ground by one of the clients that she worked with. And so she was saying to me, well, it must have been God's will. And I went, no, that was not God's will. And she said, well, he must have allowed it to happen. I went, no, he didn't allow it to happen. Poor management allowed that to happen. Poor management sent a small 5'2" woman on her own to deal with a 6'2" young, aggressive male client. That's why it happened. They knew he had a history of aggression, and they sent one single person in on her own to try and deal with this man. And so that was poor management that opened the door that allowed that attack on her life. Everything that happens isn't God's will. Folks, if you don't go home with anything else, this is a truth in God that should actually knock your socks off. Everything that happens is not God's will, or people wouldn't be going to hell. Because I can guarantee that's not God's will. The Bible says God is not willing that any should perish, but we just need to look around us and see people are perishing. And it's not the will of God. People are starving in the world, and yet there's enough food on this planet to feed everybody. But people have butter mountains and flour mountains and sugar mountains and wine lakes and whatever else that they call it. And they're saving up food just to make their economy better. And yet there's children dying every minute for lack of food. There's enough food on this earth. There's people that have billions and billions of pounds and people that can't even get a drink of water that day. And so there's enough stuff on this earth to fulfill God's will. But God's will doesn't automatically come to pass because, unfortunately, he gave us mankind a free will. And mankind does what they want with their free will, for good or evil. So people are going to hell, and that's not God's will. People are perishing, and that's not God's will. God's will comes to pass when we pray it into being. Okay, Romans 3 verse 4 says, let God be true, but every man a liar. God's is true. His word is true. It is the truth. And it's people that come with lies. It's people that tell lies. So I bring this revelation from that. Don't judge God by man's standards, because God's not man. He's not a man. He's God. He's way so much higher than above anything you could ever think or imagine. So if other people would treat us that way, it does not mean it's God. It doesn't mean he's the one that's treating us that way. It's a person that's chosen to do something very negative, and it's not God. And if someone comes along and they rob from you, give all that to God, because God will give you back 100-fold what they've taken. There's scriptures in the word that you can stand on that God will bring back to you what has been stolen from you. People may break their promises to you, but God won't. So who are we believing? Are we believing what someone else has said or done to us, or are we believing what God says in his word, that he can restore to us everything that the locusts have eaten? Let's go back to the verse 20 that we read at the beginning, where it just said, I received a command to bless. God has blessed, and I cannot reverse it. God's made a command to bless us. And this says it can't be reversed. You know, God's releasing blessing to us, not judgment, not punishment, not broken promises. He's already promised the blessing. He's already promised it, but we need to find it in his word, and then we need to stand on it, and we need to speak it out. We were talking to someone recently and just gave this person, you know, Isaiah 54:17. They were having a really difficult time at work. And I just said, Isaiah 54:17, no weapon formed against us shall prosper, and every tongue that rises against us in judgment will be proven to be in the wrong. I said, you need to speak that over your work situation and believe that these comments that are against you will just be broken, and they'll just fall off like broken chains. And so it's the word of God is amazing, and we can stand on the word of God. So are you ready for the best Christmas present ever? The best promise ever given to the world. And it's in Isaiah 53 and verse 5. For he was wounded for our transgressions. He was bruised for our iniquities. The chastisement for our peace was upon him, and by his stripes we are healed. One little verse that changes the world. It changes our destiny. It changes our future. It changes our doctor's report. It changes everything and all the rubbish that's been thrown at us and all the broken promises, because this is a promise from God that he will never break. He's done it all for us, and we can claim these things. This, all of the promises of God are just about summed up in this one scripture. He was wounded and bruised for us. We get the promise of forgiveness and peace. Did you know that God was at peace with you? That God's not looking to judge us. He's not looking to bring a great big hammer down on our head or beat us with a big stick from heaven. We are at peace with him. If he is our Lord and Savior, the angels came to the shepherds and they said, peace, goodwill to man. God's bringing peace, not judgment anymore. It was the beginning of a new covenant. God is at peace with you. He was whipped, it says, on his back. There's stripe marks on the back of Jesus where the whip gouged the flesh off his backbone and off his ribs. He's got those marks on his back, so we wouldn't have to take them. And those marks are the promise of our healing. So if it's healing we need, we can stand on the scripture as well. Folks, Jesus was punished, so we get promise after promise after promise. This scripture alone tells us that we're good enough to receive these promises if Jesus is our Lord. We accept him and he forgives us. You might say, well, Sandra, I want to believe God's promises, but I'm still waiting to see some come to pass. Now, in that waiting time, it's a hard time to be, and we're tempted to think, well, that's it, it's not worked, God's forgotten me, I give up. But that's what the enemy wants. He wants us to give up with our prayers. But I want us to remember something called the daffodil principle, which I'm sure most of you know about. It was a lady called Alma Jean Bower in California back in 1958. She began to plant daffodils. And at the time of reading this, that's something like 50,000 daffodils had been planted by one lady. It said one lady, one pair of hands, one bulb at a time. And after working for days and for years, she saw the results. Now, the results were not immediate. I don't even think this picture does it justice, because apparently it's field upon field upon field of daffodils. It's a spectacular sight to behold. But it was not immediate results. She wouldn't get that after the first day of planting, which she maybe managed to do 50 bulbs. She wouldn't have got it after the second day. She didn't even get it after the second year of planting. She had to keep being focused and dedicated. And the end result was spectacular. I feel God wants to say to someone today, your promise will be spectacular. The end result will be something amazing. It may not be immediate, but it will happen. Was a little bit discouraged recently myself. You know, you're praying for healing for something or for someone and you don't see the healing straight away. But there's that scripture that says, they shall lay hands on the sick and they will recover. It's not always immediate. It's a process. We need to believe for it. We need to stand on the word of God and we will see the recovery. This woman planted these daffodil bulbs and it wasn't immediate. She had to wait for the end result. So if you're waiting for something, just it's a process that you're in. And who knows what person's trying to come against the answer to your prayer. But don't void it by giving up. Continue to stand on the word of God. You know, how do we read a book? One page at a time. How do we go on a journey? One step at a time. Everything is a process. How do we believe for the promises of God? One scripture at a time. To reap a promise, you have to speak a promise. If we don't plant it in our lives by speaking it, then there's nothing there to grow, because that's what plants it. So here's my revelation. If we plant nothing, guess what's growing? Nothing. We need to plant the promises of God. Not just go round the mountain with the circumstances. This has happened, this has happened, this has happened. It's not changed, it's not changed. That's just planting doubt and unbelief. We need to plant. God is in control. No weapon formed against me shall prosper. And whatever the appropriate scripture is for us. We've been planting this church one person at a time for almost 10 years. Are there days when we feel discouraged? Yes. Are there empty seats? Yes. But we have to go home and we have to pick ourselves up and we have to go forward with the call of God on our lives, with the vision that God's given us, and continue planting until God says stop. One person at a time we're planting this church, because anything worth achieving doesn't happen overnight. It just doesn't. Things come down overnight. Walls come down overnight. The Berlin Wall came down overnight almost. Things like that happen. But generally speaking, if you want to build something, you've got to have foundations, you've got to have walls, you've got to have a roof, and it takes time. If it's worth achieving, it will not happen with a flash in the pan. So don't give up. Keep going, because God has already said yes to blessing you. He's already said, yes, I will fulfill my promises. Look at this amazing scripture, 2 Corinthians 1:20. For all the promises of God in him are yes, and in him amen. And another translation, for all God's promises have been fulfilled in Christ with a resounding yes. You know, if you go to God and say, God, do you want to bless me? The answer is yes. God, will you help me pay these bills? The answer is yes. It's a resounding yes. God's made us promises that are already fulfilled in Christ, but we need to claim them. Jesus died to forgive them. To fulfill them. We're forgiven. We're at peace with God. Healing power is available for us. And we have eternal life. That's enough to start any party off, isn't it? Let's push the chairs back today and have a wee celebration party for all the promises that God's given us. There's so many promises in his word. Hebrews 13, verse 5, he promises, I'll never leave you or forsake you. Psalm 119, verse 105, he promises, my word is a lamp unto your feet and a light unto your path. So if you've got any questions, God, I don't know what to do about it. Well, my word is the answer. My word is a lamp unto your feet, Sandra, and a light unto your path. So find the answer in my word, and it will light up the way to go. It will light up what you're meant to do next. God's, it's jam-packed from beginning to end with promises that we can stand on. His word is full of promise after promise for your life, but you need to find them. You need to open it up and find them. So here's a question for all of us. What do you see when you look at your life? Is your cup half full or half empty? Are we thanking God for the good things or just focusing on the things that haven't turned out right yet? Are we looking at the positives or the negatives? What we focus on is what we're believing for, and it's what we'll get. That's what we're going to speak out over our lives. I saw this on a TV program once, and I do think it's true. It was one of these programs where they help you, you know, dress to suit your body shape and all that kind of thing. And they had a lineup of 10 ladies, and they said to their client, go and stand in the lineup where you think you belong size-wise. So these ladies are all varying in size from smaller to not quite so small, you know. So this lady had to go and she had to join the lineup. And they said that nearly every single time, and I don't know if it's pressure from the media and skinny models and all the rest of it, a woman will go and put herself in that line 2 to 3 sizes bigger than she actually is. She sees herself bigger than she actually is. So this lady went and slotted herself in about 2 sizes or 3 sizes larger than she actually was. Because, folks, we're all believing a lie. We're all believing that we're meant to be stick insects, you know? We're all believing what the world says about us. We're all believing that we're useless and worthless. You know, if it was a lineup of love, 1 to 10, there's God. Go and put yourself in this lineup of 1 to 10 of how much you think God loves you. How many of us would slot ourselves in at number 10? Hardly anybody. We'd be down there, oh, I might squeeze in between 1 and 2. Budge over a bit there. Budge over, Linda. Budge over, Jackie. I'm coming in the middle, okay? We'd slot ourselves way down the line because we're not believing the truth. We're not believing the promises of God. We're believing a lie. So I've got a prophetic word for someone today. Don't see what you are in yourself. See what you are in Christ. Or don't see who you are in yourself. See who you are in Christ. You know, that position number 10 should be chock-a-block because we should all be up there believing how much God loves us. We need to stop looking at our inability and start to focus on his ability, because the word of God says, I can do all things through Christ who strengthens me. Not just some things, but all things, not just when I'm feeling like it, not just when I'm feeling spiritually enough, but even when I'm feeling spiritually rubbish, I can still do all things. Because it's not about my ability and how I feel. It's about what Jesus did on the cross, and his promises are yes and amen. If it's in God's word, and then God has said yes to it, and amen. And amen translated means so be it. So when we say our prayers and we go amen, we're saying so be it, I want this to come to pass. If he's promised it, then it's true because God's word is true. God's promises will never fail because they're already true in Christ, already paid for. We just need to go to the hatch to collect them. It's like you've got your wee raffle, your wee ticket, you know, and you go up and you collect what it is you've already paid for. So keep standing on his promises. Keep speaking them out and don't give up. I've got a few quotes from Winston Churchill this week because some of his quotes are amazing. And here is the first one about not giving up. We shall go on to the end. We shall fight on the seas and oceans. We shall fight with growing confidence. We shall defend our island, whatever the cost may be. We shall fight on the beaches. We shall fight on the landing grounds. We shall fight in the fields and in the streets. We shall fight in the hills. We shall never surrender. Folks, we need to be saying that for our future. I will fight for my future. I will fight for my children. I will fight for my loved ones. Well, I will defend the promises that God's given me for my life. I'll defend the desires of my heart. I will defend the dreams that I want to happen in my life, and I will not give up. We need to fight every attack and never surrender with growing confidence, it says. I'm going to fight with growing confidence. I've prayed for this person to be healed on Monday. I can't see any difference. I prayed on Tuesday. I can't see any difference. I prayed on Wednesday. I still can't see that they're any better. But I have laid hands on the sick and they will recover. And I'm going to stand and I'm going to fight on that. It's a recovery process. Not everything's an instant miracle. A lot of stuff takes a lot of hard graft. A lot of stuff takes planting the bulbs on Monday, on Tuesday, on Wednesday. Keep going with it. I get my prayer list out in the morning and I'm praying for a lot of people in this room and others besides. And I speak over them. I'm praying for this person and I will see recovery. I will see that in their lives. I will see the pain gone from their body. And whatever it is, we need to have growing confidence and not give up. Don't ever give up on God's promises, because He won't ever give up on them. He's never going to give up on His promises, but we're the ones that need to fight for them. At the birth of Jesus, God made a covenant with man. It was the promise that we read out, really, I suppose, in Isaiah 53, where it says He was wounded for our transgressions and by His stripes were healed. It was that promise that He was going to be the Messiah, the Savior of the world, and meet every single need that mankind had. God made a promise to us, not the other way around. And that makes a huge difference. And you might say, well, Sandra, how does that make a difference? It makes a difference because if we didn't make the promise, we can't break it. God's just up there going, I love you. And people down here going, well, we don't love you, God. That doesn't matter. I love you. Well, we don't love you. I love you. We think you're a waste of space. I love you. God's made a covenant with mankind to love them and love them and love them. And mankind cannot break that promise. Because God made it and they didn't, and that makes a huge difference. If we didn't make the promise, we can't break it. It stands forever. We can choose to walk away from God, but God will never walk away from us until our dying breath and then the judgment. But we need to make a decision to walk with God. Nothing we can do will make God break His word. It stands forever. Here's a wee simple example. You've got great Auntie Jeannie somewhere. You never really met her, but you knew she lived up in the Highlands somewhere, and you didn't realise that she had a wee bit of money, or you might have gone to visit, you know. So Auntie Jeannie passes away, and she sets up an order, standing order with her lawyer, that every single week of Jackie's life, she's going to send Jackie £50 every single week of her life. That £50 is going to go into her bank account. It's just going to keep going in, and it's going to keep going in. It's fresh resources, every single week. Now, Jackie can decide, I don't want this money. I'm going to give it away. I'm going to pass it on to a local charity. But this money is just going to keep coming, because Jackie didn't send up the standing order. Great Auntie Jeannie did. Okay, so the money is just going to keep coming. God made the covenant to love mankind, and mankind can never break that. They can refuse to have it, but the covenant is set up, and God loves us, and He will never break that promise. The money will just keep coming, and God's love will just keep coming, because that's what it says in His word. And you might say to me, well, Sandra, I didn't ask for the promises to be broken in my life, for people's promises that they made me to be broken. Well, can I just say this to you? God didn't ask for that either. It was people that did that to you, and it was not God. Broken promises are not from God. But even if people broke their promises, God can still bring a happy ending. So here's a prophetic word today. You don't have to accept the ending you've got. You can rewrite it. You can have a different end to the one the enemy's planned, because all the enemy plans is destruction. He wants to destroy us one at a time, but we can rewrite it. You can rewrite your own story no matter what someone else has decided. This is going to be your ending. I'm going to reject you. You're not going to get that promotion, whatever it is. Just say, well, no, I'm not going to have that. I'm going to rewrite my ending. I'm going to just take myself out of the reject bin and go back on number one pedestal. I'm a winner in Christ, okay? No matter what promises were broken, we can rise again. Years ago, I saw this program. It was all round about the whole Rwanda genocide, was it, in Rwanda? It was a horrendous time for that country. And they were trying to rebuild their lives after all that had passed. And it was this little compound, I suppose you would call it, that tiny little brick houses. These houses may have just been a little one-room, very simple brick house, one room, tin roof, that kind of thing. And they were interviewing a lady who lived there in Rwanda in that compound. And this lady's husband had died. He died at that time in the conflict, and a lot of the people that were staying in this compound were single mums with children because the husbands had died, a lot of them in the conflict, but some of them had died of AIDS. So the women had been raped by the soldiers, and they were now dying of AIDS as well. This lady hadn't just been raped. She had been raped multiple times during the conflict. She had about five or six children of her own. And all the women, all the mums in this complex helped each other. But as some of them were dying of AIDS, this lady took in their children. So she not only had her children, she had about 11 children now. She had this lady's three children and this lady's three children. And these women in this complex, but especially this lady in particular, it was just amazing what she did, that she took in these children. And I'm sure that she had thoughts about giving up. I'm sure she looked at the ending that she'd been handed and thought, this is just the pits. But she made a decision to have a different ending. She made a decision to fight. She made a decision to believe that she was worth living and that she was worth fighting for, and so were her children. Here is a quote from Churchill. "History will be kind to me, for I intend to write it." He intended that the history books would hail him as a great leader, and that's what a lot of them do, because he intended to write it about himself. So we need to rewrite our failures and make it a success, make it a bestseller, make it something that can help other people. Don't stay where circumstances put you. Rise up and get out of that emotional pit and decide that God's got a better plan. So if your life feels like a living hell right now, don't sit down in the middle of it. Here's another quote by Winston Churchill. If you're going through hell, keep going. Keep going. Why would you stop there? Why would you sit down and pull up a table, have a pity party with the enemy? You need to keep going when the mood is down and low and your thoughts are dark and heavy. Get up. Go for a walk, put the kettle on, whatever, put praise music on, and speak out the promises of God and say, I'm not going to have this blanket of heaviness that's just landed on me. I'm getting out of this place. Don't give in to the attack. And if we recognize it's an attack, we need to stand up and fight. Ephesians 6 says, after you've done everything, stand. It says, put on all the armor, you know, the helmet of salvation, the breastplate of righteousness, the sword, the shield, the shoes, the belt of truth, the whole lot. Put on the whole shebang, Sandra. And when you've done everything you know to do, just stand. Stand on what? Thin air? No. The promises of God, because he never breaks them. Stand on the word of God and everything that he has given us. So I had a vision of someone as I was thinking about that. And I saw someone and they just starting to smile again because they realized they didn't have to stay in the pit where the enemy put them. Even if people were involved, the bottom line is it's the enemy that's behind it. And he stuffed them down there. And this person was beginning to stand up and think, I'm getting out of this valley. They began to pick themselves back up one day at a time, one bulb at a time. One scripture at a time. Just keep going. Replant your life by believing the promises of God. I've got one last scripture. And in fact, I'm just going to read. It's the first scripture we started with. So it's Numbers 23:19. God is not a man, so he does not lie. He is not human, so he does not change his mind. Has he ever spoken and failed to act? Has he ever promised and not carried it through? Listen, I received a command to bless. God has blessed, and I cannot reverse it. God's promised to bless us, and he refuses to reverse it. He's promised so many blessings, but we must believe them. We must speak them over our life. And if we're not, why not? We need to believe them. The only reason for not speaking them is if we don't believe them. So I'll bring that revelation to you. The only reason not to speak them is if we don't actually believe them. You've got nothing to lose by speaking the promises of God. So I'm going to finish with a challenge for all of us. Speak out God's promises, what he says about your life. Start to replant your own future one word at a time. Speak out that your life is half full, and don't even look at the half empty stuff. I'm sure it's there. I'm sure we've all got the negatives, but don't even look at it. Rewrite your own ending and you'll smile again, because God promises it. I'm going to ask the worship team to come up.